Hello, this is Michael Kupperman, author of Snake and Bacon's Cartoon Cabaret and Tales Designed to Thrizzle. You're listening to A Little Dead Podcast, your place for full frontal nerdity.
Episode 91.1 of A Little Dead Podcast, your weekly comic book update for March 8th, 2011. This week, my comic stack is Green Lantern number 63, Prologue to War of the Green Lanterns, Brightest Day number 21, Captain America Hail Hydra number 3 of 5, Marvel, DC Universe Online Legends number 3, and Marvel Zombie Supreme number 1 of 5.
And I have New York 5 204, Chip Second Crack number 3, Nemesis 4, which I'm way late on, Casanova Gula 2, and Morning Glories number 7.
I'm sorry, every time I hear Casanova, the only thing that comes to mind is Casanova Frankenstein, the bad guy from Mystery Men.
I didn't see that.
We'll talk about it some
other
time.
I need to see that. I've wanted to watch that for a while.
I can lend you the DVD.
Yeah.
It's unique. Well, anyway, so, and speaking of, let's talk about not unique. So, should we go from worst to best or best to worst this week? Since we didn't even discuss, I was too busy dumping water bottles on Sad Max comics for us to decide
what
reading order.
Don't do that. You'll make little geek hearts explode all
over
them. Yes,
I know that there's a lot of other waterworks going on right now as people hear comics got drenched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the first thing I'm going to talk about this week, I'm going to knock something out pretty quick. So, Captain America, Hail Hydra, number 3 of 5. So, as we all know, this series is all about the origin of Hydra. And it's taking the history of Captain America to show how Captain America and Hydra are kind of symbiotic. In this issue, we've got Captain America in Wakanda with T'Challa, also with Sam Wilson, who is Falcon. Cap's old, I don't want to say sidekick, but his partner. And in this issue, we see, you know, where Sam gets his new costume. It's a little heavier. He's learning how to use it. And at the same time, we have interspersed in this story more events from across human history where Hydra was involved. So in this one, we have like 3,000 years ago, an incident where an ancient member of Hydra got some piece of an elixir to eternal life from a demon. We also have an incident in, I want to say it was Inquisition time, where an alchemist is found out by a tribunal who turns out to be a part of Hydra. When he thinks they're about to torture him, they go, no, we want to offer you a job. And in this issue, we get a little recap on number two, why Thor thinks he's figured out why Hydra shot an arrow at him and Cap. He realizes it was to get their blood. And a very interesting thing was stated in here. Captain America may actually be the result of some work Hydra has done throughout history. That we get one of those German dead Third Reich Nazi super soldiers coming back again to torture Cap and tell him, the super soldier serum wasn't meant to keep you young forever, yet you haven't aged since you were, you know, thawed from that ice. Don't you think that's kind of weird? Don't you remember getting injected with a needle back during World War II? Don't you think that the Allies were pretty quick to come up with that super soldier serum? No, it's all built on stuff we've been doing. So Cap's got this moral dilemma of, oh crap, I'm the product of Hydra. So this series is really thrilling. I'm enjoying this a lot. So Captain America, Hail Hydra, number three. Good story, great artwork. I don't know who the artist was who did it right off the top of my head, but it's very much reminiscent of stuff I read back in the 80s. Very detail-oriented, very nice. It's beautiful eye candy. So pick it up and read it.
Did you say we were going from worst to best, I thought?
I'm just winging it at this point.
Oh, okay. Well, let's wing on. So, Morning Glory is number 7. So, in this issue, we get the backstory of Zoe, one of the girls in the boarding school who's the sort of preppy, doesn't really want anything to do with anybody, kind mm-hmm. of. And we actually get a little snapshot of her childhood. And we start to find out not only more about her, but maybe a little bit more about what's actually going on here. Because we see that she had some supernatural abilities from a very early age.
Really? What kind of supernatural abilities?
Well, they find this, I guess it's implied it's sort of an adoption agency, finds her somewhere in the Middle East where it's reported she has supernatural abilities. And the guy from the agency walks in and she just looks at him and goes, "Hi, Frank." And somebody points out, A, you've never met him, and B, you don't speak English.
I gotta say, I like the cover. She looks like Danielle Harris.
Okay.
She's a horror film scream queen.
She looks like somebody that would get murdered in a horror film.
Yeah.
I will grant you that.
Michael Myers' sister.
Yes. But basically, we get a little subplot about her motivations. She's basically intensely obsessed with popularity. Like, even in this school environment where people are getting killed and tortured, she's walks out on all of her roommates basically saying, you know, I'm too cool to be hanging out with you people, and that's not why I came to this school. And we find out really how sinister her motivations might be towards the end, and I won't give that away. All in all, I sort of like the direction that this is now going.
Okay.
That one ending bit, which I don't want to give away, I didn't find so believable.
So is this, answer me this, is this supernatural horror, straight-up horror, psychological horror, or is it like suspense drama? I mean, how would you peg this? Because I haven't quite gotten my mind around what kind of, what genre that this comic is.
I'd point more to the supernatural.
Okay.
But with maybe pretensions to psychological occasionally.
Okay.
But, I tend to be sort of middle of the road on it, but I mean, if you've got some room in your reading schedule, I'd definitely say it's a buy.
All right, cool. So that's Morning Glories number 7.
Yeah.
All right, next up for me is Green Lantern number 63, Prologue to War of the Green Lanterns. Now, we've been seeing a lot of teasers in DC for the last couple of weeks for this. So we got to see the opening few pages where the Guardians are big, tall, muscular people. Before the billions of years passed, then they turned into Smurfs with ponytails. But in this, we get to see a little background on what exactly was that glitch in the Manhunters that the Guardians had originally created before they formed the Green Lantern Corps. So for anybody who's not familiar with it, the Manhunters were the Guardians' biggest blunder. The Guardians thought that they could create this emotionless, mechanical police force to patrol the universe and maintain law and order. And instead, at some point, the Manhunters go crazy and they kill everything in one sector, which just so happens to be the sector where Atrocitus's people live. Well, we find out in this issue, no, it wasn't really a programming error because it was intentionally done. It was done by Krona, at least back a few billion years ago, the suave, mustache-sporting, big, muscular Guardian that eventually lost the lower half of his body and started floating around collecting entities for the different Lantern Corps. So we get that little piece of a background that's building up to what's going to happen with this War of the Green Lanterns. It was a really good read. Again, the artwork is, you know, beautiful in this. I love the art that's done in this series. I've never had an issue done wrong here. Ed Benes and, what, in this case, it's Ardian Saif. The artwork is just, it's right up there with Ivan Reis. It's very beautiful to look at. We get some interaction between Hal Jordan and the other members of the JLA, but not as much. We also see the other Lantern Corps involved. This is just going to build up to a great storyline, so I highly recommend it. Green Lantern number 63.
Casanova, Gula number 2. Or I guess Gula 2. There's no actual... Whatever. So anyway, I read the Gula 1, which I had taken to be a good entry point since it had a 1 on it, and
yeah,
had no idea what was going on, and wasn't even entirely sure if that was because of continuity or whatever. I'm starting to get the sense that I'm not supposed to know what's going on. And there's a line in here.
Could it be because the writer doesn't know what's going on?
Here it is. There's this speech. Life is confusing and strange. As a rule, expect neither narrative closure nor contextual illumination. A character actually says this in a shot where they happen to be looking out of the page. And now I start to understand what's happening here. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is written to be intentionally kind of intense. And speaking of intense, there's 3 sex scenes in this
one book.
One book, yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
this page
some.
Is heavy. Where are they? I can't find... Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you
found
shouldn't
one.
Have to flip much.
Oh my goodness. Usually they're half dollars, but those are what, dimes? I'm not going to say what I was pointing to.
Anyway, so yeah, I was almost tempted to criticize it for just being mostly that, but fortunately I realized there was more left to the book, so it was not just all, you know, 25 pages of people having sex, because that would be a waste of my money. But, yeah, the story, I'm not even going to bother to try and sum it up at this point, but if you're willing to be patient with it and pay close attention, I think it's going to go somewhere neat. The artwork is really fantastic. And there's a couple of amusing one-liners and even a recipe in here that sounds pretty good. I am not even kidding.
You know, I've seen comics that have done that before. It was, I think it was Living with the Dead. Every issue had a recipe from one of the characters, one of the 3 characters. There was a recipe published under his name in each issue. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, in this one, they post the recipe that they eat, that, like, these 2 people eat while they're watching their master plan to take over the world come into effect. I'm trying to find, there was...
Is it nachos?
No, it's not nachos. It was a beef recipe, but one favorite line. One of the sex scenes is just sort of a ruse, a distraction by one of the characters that's trying to sort of get on the inside, so to speak. But, I couldn't rephrase it in time, so just have it, take it, it's yours.
Just take it all, bitch.
But just to mention a favorite scene, there's her partner is sort of watching, like keeping the eye on across the street, the usual spy movie shtick, but he starts commenting on it. He says, "Does he smell like food? I bet he smells like food."
Nice.
But if trippy is your thing, buy it.
Cool. So that's Casanova Gula number 2.
Yes.
My next title is Brightest Day number 21, titled World on Fire.
Although the Lost World's on fire.
I'll tell you what. Something was burning, that's for sure. So in this one, we've got two worlds going on. We've got events going on Mars. We've got events going on Earth. On Mars, we've got the Martian Manhunter fighting against this only other green Martian that's alive. And he is just beyond pissed that she had fooled him into thinking that, you know, he was in the future and Mars had life again and all these great things were going on. And she tells him, you know, it's been a couple of weeks and I'm pregnant with your child. And again, this just infuriates the Manhunter and he just rips into her mind and does some interesting things like enabling her ability to read minds and then flooding her with all the thoughts of everybody on Earth. And then we have a great climactic scene here. Well, I'm not going to say what he does with her. He does something that probably left her with some burning sensations as well. And then we find out...
Whoa!
I know, right?
So she's pregnant and burning sensations. That couldn't have gone worse.
Uh-huh. When it's green, it's mean.
I hate this show so much.
But the great thing is this builds up to a cliffhanger ending. I cannot wait until the next issue. So when issue 22 comes out, it's going to be a long time until next week when 22 comes out. Because the cliffhanger in this was just a great one. I'm not going to say what it was, but it was really a good one. If you are not reading Brightest Day, you are really missing out on an awesome storyline. But if you are reading it, you need to grab this issue and read it now. And we also get a little teaser with what's happened to some of the other White Lanterns. We've got Ray Palmer standing next to Hawkman's helmet. We also see Aquaman's right hand washing up on shore. And there's a little bit of validation that, so far all of the survivors that the White Ring has gone after have been turned to dust. Why, we don't know, but it has happened. I can't wait to find out what the reason is for that.
Okay. Let's save that. Chip, second crack number 3. So this is one of my... Edit this out. All right, restarting my brain.
I'll put it in this.
So this is just one of the amusing little comics. If you don't remember my reviews of it before, it's just about... a gargoyle living on a gargoyle farm from some guy who makes gargoyles, and most of the permanent residents there have something wrong with them, which is why they haven't sold, they're chipped, they're scratched, etc. Chip's problem is he's only 6 inches tall.
And not very scary.
Yes, and not very scary.
He's actually very cute.
He is very cute. Which
gargoyles shouldn't be something that little girls want to cuddle with.
Yeah, it's kind of a problem for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, Chip has a cryptid... conspiracy theorists, you know, cryptids being animals that may or may not exist, Bigfoot and some such. And in the last issue, they were going after one of them.
It was the Jersey Devil, wasn't it?
Yes, the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
And in the end, the Jersey Devil comes sprinting on screen and says that he's being chased by someone. And he explains who it is at the beginning of this one. That hunter's insane. He wants to stuff me. He's crazy for cryptids. Crazy for cryptids. And Chip says, weirdest cereal ad slogan ever. And that pretty much sums up the general tone of Chip. It's just this really fun sort of story with a lot of amusing one-liners. It's kid-friendly if you want something to read with your kids, and it's perfectly fine to read by yourself, too. I won't tell anybody.
Is that the Blair Witch?
She's not a witch. She gets very angry if you call her a witch.
Really?
Yes, there's an old woman with magical powers, and...
She doesn't live in a shoe, does she?
No, she doesn't live in a shoe, but if you call her a witch, she accuses you of racism. She spends most of her appearance in the comic. Yeah, that's hilarious. She just kind of shows up, resolves this conflict with the hunters, and then walks off. And she's basically ranting about how dare you call me a witch the whole time. So
witch,
it's just sort of this...
Witch ex machina.
Yes, pretty much. But yeah, great fun. Definitely buy it.
Nice. So my next one is DC Universe Online Legends number 3. Big reveal in here, Lex Luthor is a liar. Did you know that?
No.
Yes. So the first two issues, we were given the impression that Lex Luthor his whole goal in life is he wanted to kill Superman. Because Superman is this alien that everybody's put up on a pinnacle. But he's an alien. And Lex Luthor wants everything to just be better for the Earth. And this alien is ruining things. So he kills Superman. Brainiac brings in his nanobot things and wipes out the Earth. Second issue, Lex Luthor says, oh my God, didn't realize this was going to happen. This isn't what I wanted. Gets together heroes and villains and says, work with me. You can, you know, I'll make it up to you, but we got to fight Brainiac now. In this third issue, Power Girl finds her cousin, Superman, dead. She flips, goes to find Lex Luthor when she figures out he's the one that did it. And Lex tells her, no, don't kill me. Work with me. Or just let me tell you what's going on, then kill me if that's what you want. But it's all still a ruse. Even as the whole world literally is falling down around him, Lex Luthor is still lying and manipulating people in order to get something that we still don't quite know yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, we thought that his goal was the death of Superman. But in this issue, we find out, no, that's not quite it. Oh, he got that, but there's still apparently more machinations going on in the background. In talking with Casey at the comic shop, she said that it's her understanding that this is going to merge together with the DC Universe, the main DC Universe, in the next year.
Hmm.
So, if you're not reading this, you probably should check it out if you read DC Comics, just to see where is this going and how is the storyline going to merge back into the mainstream DC Comics. I'm liking it. I haven't found a reason to hate it. And I do kind of like the story. It ties in with the game. So if you play the game in particular, then pick up DC Universe Online Legends number 3.
Cool. So, the New York 5, number 2 of 4. So basically, it's a typical sort of slice of life, bunch of college girls living in an apartment kind of story.
Mm-hmm.
If you caught my review of issue 1, you got that much. Various subplots going on, all sort of detailing their various struggles and hardships, or maybe things are going okay for some of them. I don't feel like this is smacking me in the face like so many things in this vein are doing.
Mm-hmm.
The authors seem to have a really intimate sort of relationship with the city itself, with New York. They'll recommend little restaurants, or they'll point out little historical facts about different parts of the city, and New York's not the least illuminated thing in all of art, but I like that they're treating it the way they're treating it. And, generally I'd say it's worth reading.
It's a tour guide.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember in the first issue that you had mentioned that they, like, pointed out a certain cafe, corner cafe.
They recommended a Chinese restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That's very cool. I would love to go and talk to that Chinese restaurant and see, have they seen a little bump in sales as a result of the comic? Because that would be cool.
That would be intriguing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my next one, and this is my last one of the week, is Marvel Zombies Supreme, number 1 of 5. Now, I'm sure anybody who's been listening to the comic reviews long enough knows my opinion of the Marvel Zombie series. I think it's utter crap. Marvel is beyond milking it. And thank you, Marvel, for vindicating me, because this storyline is equally retarded. And I nominate Marvel Zombie Supreme for Worst Comic of the Week. In this one, so this is not the Marvel Zombies universe anymore. That, apparently they did close that off with the last Marvel Zombie series. Instead, this one has the Squadron Supreme somehow managed to leave some of their genetic material with scientists working in this underground lab who are trying to figure out, or trying to find alternative energy sources. And for some reason, one of the scientists said, well, gee, wouldn't it be interesting if we took that DNA from the Squadron Supreme and cloned it? And he does that. So he creates new versions of all the members of the Squadron Supreme. But for some reason, he needed energy from some satellite that, of course, turns these clones into zombies. And now these clones start eating all of the scientists in this lab. So this ultra-secret squadron from this group called Pegasus, along with Battlestar, the superhero who carries Captain America's original shield, his original Templar-shaped shield, show up to investigate why all contact has been lost with this lab. They manage to open up an impenetrable door that's supposed to be locked from the inside, but of course they manage to unlock it from the outside. They get inside and come face to face with some of the dumbest zombies I've ever seen in comic books. I mean, really, and I read Littlest Zombie, and I'm considering this dumb. So, that should tell you a whole lot. This Marvel Zombie Supreme, I'm sorry, Marvel, you are really, really, really doing a piss poor job with your zombie franchise. You keep coming up with stupid ideas and then running it into the ground, and this is just another stupid idea. If you're going to do zombies, at least go and watch a zombie movie and figure out what zombie fans like, because they certainly don't like dumb zombie clone zombies. This is retarded. So, honestly, don't bother, although I'm sure I'm going to end up reading the other four just so I can be upset on purpose.
Excellent. Well, that was your nomination for Worst Comic of the Week, which means you have to leave this alone, don't you? So, I don't listen to this show because it sucks, but...
Yeah, the hosts are a couple of jerks.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that asshole with the weird voice. But anyway...
But the McPierce guy sounds pretty cool.
Nah, fuck him. Oh, yeah, we're not supposed to say that anymore.
Yeah, we don't use gender pronouns.
Okay. Anyway, Nemesis, issue 4, which McPierce did not like.
And that's putting it lightly.
I was more or less okay with it. But anyway... So, it opens up with, Nemesis has set another trap for Blake, and, succeeds in kidnapping him, and brings him to the White House, where, basically, he has strapped bombs to both Blake's wife and the president, and says, they each can blow each other, the other one up, or I'll blow up both of them, or you can pick. And I think I've said a lot of this comic moves too fast for characterization. The president, I think, is the one character that worked for me in the time they gave him.
Mm-hmm.
He basically just says, you know what, he just, screw you, I've had it with you, I'm disgusted with you, and then just walks over to him, just gets right up in his face and says, blow me up. And that's his whole screen time, and that was excellent. That was my favorite moment in the whole series. So, ultimately, the good guys win. Blake almost dies, and, you know, the card he got that said he'd be killed said flatline still counts, and sure enough, right at the time it said, he was flatlining on the operating table.
Right.
And he comes back, and then he, in the end, and I guess this is the part that bothered you, was he gets the note.
I was fine with everything up until that absolute very end.
Okay. So let's talk about the end. So the one thing we found out about Nemesis during the course of this issue was he wasn't who he said he was. His whole backstory was a lie.
Right.
He
Nemesis was just, wasn't the guy in the white suit.
He was just some rich guy who paid some money to get to blow stuff up for a while and be mean to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all Nemesis was. And we get a note from the organization who paid him. Saying
he paid.
Who he paid.
Right.
And it basically says, good job. We do this service, as you've no doubt figured out. We'll make sure to stay away from you from here on out because it really wouldn't be fair for you to have to go through that again. Really
right.
Sorry for the inconvenience. Bye-bye. And the waiter says, yeah, that note was delivered 10 years ago. They said on this day you would be here, and I gave
right.
it to you.
Yeah, see, I can even suspend disbelief to say that somebody can be so forward-thinking and cover so many bases and be so, you know, be so meticulous that they could do something like that. I can deal with that. What I don't like is that it ended in such a way that it opened it up for another Nemesis story. I don't want another Nemesis story. If they had just ended it with Blake shooting the guy in the white Batman costume and ended it there, I would have been happy. It's when they took it that step further and went, oh, you know what? It's a big organization that does this.
You think they're sequel mongering?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Miller is sequel mongering.
I don't.
Kick-Ass could have ended with the eighth issue.
Kick-Ass could have ended there, yes.
But instead he's doing a second one.
This could have gone more issues, though.
Yes, he could have. He
could
and
have
if
gone more.
And if he wanted to milk it, he should have milked this. Because they could have stretched out the whole thing with Blake a lot longer. You know, like you said, they really rushed through the characterization.
I agree, but I mean, in the end, I just didn't get that sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it sort of had that open-ended existentialist kind of vibe at the end, but right.
You don't think he's
they've explicitly
do a
removed the main character. I mean, unless he decides to go hunting down these people after that, but no, I thought it was over.
Okay.
I really think that was it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. When I came out of this, when I saw that, I went, oh, he's setting himself up so he can do another story. Assuming that, you know, Nemesis was so popular that they go, okay, well, now we can do Nemesis too, because people will just buy based on the title.
Well, so didn't we hear it was already optioned even before we got the first issue?
No, I thought it was Kick-Ass that was optioned. Kick-Ass, no, the movie was optioned before the comic was published.
I heard that the next thing he was going to do was already option two. I think before it even had a title, I think it was, they said, whatever you do next, we'll take it.
It's possible.
Which is strange, but...
Yeah, it's possible. I know that Kick-Ass definitely was optioned before issue one hit the streets, because Miller was shopping the screenplay around, you know, the whole story around as well. Yeah, in the end, Nemesis was great up until that last piece for me, and I went ballistic on it.
Yeah, if you're right, then I'd agree. I mean, okay. if Nemesis 2 shows up and it goes in that direction, I will be disappointed.
I will punch a baby.
I will punch two babies.
I will take a toddler and swing it at a baby.
Our operators are standing by the phones if you'd like to wager your babies against Nemesis 2.
Oh, man, baby fights. That would be awesome. That's like bum fights, but with babies.
Babies make everything better.
They're so cute when they're hitting each other.
I did it.
Okay, with that, I'm out of here. This is McPierce.
And Sad Mac.
Saying later.
Give me a shot!